Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
In 1984, I was living in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and by myself now because my wife had left me, and I was pretty much on my own. I just moved down there, started working a radio job, didn't really know a lot of people, felt pretty lonely, and by myself. It was a turning point in my life, and there was a man I worked with on the radio who kept trying to show me this big Civil War park in Vicksburg. Huge park, one of the biggest parks around, 7 miles long, and I had no interest. I'm 24 years old. I'm thinking, what do I care? You know, a typical 24-year-old guy. And then I watched, while I was there in Mississippi, a series of A&E produced these things with Danny Glover. It was Civil War Chronicles, I believe. And when I actually took the time, they like spoke to me, and now it started to become very clear that this was a time period that really meant a lot to me, when 24 years of my life before that, it meant very little. And by just watching this, I just became so entranced. And it would be years later that more than one medium or psychic would tell me that I lived in that time period. And I would have feelings, even before I talked to them, connected to that time period. I don't have proof, and I don't have vivid memories of who I was. That's still kind of vague, and every so often it's like I get just a little bit of a feeling, and people tell me things. That really doesn't matter. The show this week is about other people who have vivid memories of, and they truly believe. And you're going to hear audio of a couple of different people that I took off of YouTube. The first child's name, and it's amazing that these are kids, because you think kids are not going to be making this up, but they could be. His name is James Leininger, and his parents, Bruce and Andrea, speak on this YouTube video. Now, they've also wrote a book called Soul Survivor, and my friend told me about this to check this out. And I'd like to talk to them, but I haven't been able to make contact. It's called Soul Survivor, Reincarnation of a World War II Fighter Pilot. Here is the audio from a YouTube video.
Midnight, Monday, May 1st, 2000. The screams came out of nowhere. One day, James Leininger, just 3 weeks past his second birthday, was a happy, playful toddler, the centerpiece of a loving family of three living on the soft coastal plain of southern Louisiana. And then suddenly, in the darkest hour of midnight, he was flopping around on his bed like a broken power line, howling at the sky as if he could crack open the heavens with his ear-shattering distress.
These are samples of the recurring drawings that James did every day for a year and a half or 2 years. It was just like the nightmares. It just goes on and on.
I was always looking for a logical explanation for James's nightmares and his knowledge of aviation. And many people have asked us, do we have an aviation or military background? And we don't. And that's what made James's recollections so much more uncanny, that he had this basic knowledge of military and aviation where there was no way he could be getting this information.
James and his nightmares described crashing into water. And in the research that we did for the story, these are the aircraft action reports from VC-81, about 400 pages of action report.
After my husband and I did extensive research based on what James had told us, we were able to determine that James was remembering the life of a fighter pilot who'd been killed during World War II at the Battle for Iwo Jima. His name was James M. Houston, Jr. And when his family sent us the initial package of photographs, we were amazed by the striking resemblance between James M. Houston, Jr., the fighter pilot who was shot down in World War II, and our own son, James.
I was not just skeptical, I was adamant that this was not happening in my house. And my belief system rebelled against the concept and the idea of reincarnation and past lives.
It was important for me to write this book with my husband, number one, to tell James's story. I actually think that what James experienced is not an uncommon phenomenon. I think probably a lot of children remember past lives when they're in the 2 to 5 year old age bracket.
What we did was we listened and we followed the things that our son gave us. It became an adventure. It became an adventure of discovery that went thousands of miles, talking to hundreds of people and establishing facts beyond any reasonable doubt of proof that this is not a coincidence. This is indeed the past life experience of a child remembering the spirit and having the spirit of another person join this reality.
So that's really interesting. And now the parents, especially the father, who was quite skeptical, has taken a different tact after learning so much about this child and what he told them. The second audio clip that I have is taken from Cameron McCauley and his mother and some other people. You're going to hear several people speaking on this, but Cameron is a boy that lives in Scotland, and he believes at a very young age, 2 years old, he lived in a place called Barra, B-A-R-R-A, Scotland. And it's part of the British Isles, and it's like an island that's real remote, and it's quite a ways, takes a while to get there if you go by boat or you can fly there. That's about the only way you're going to get there. And he claims he has vivid memory of his family, and I find it real interesting. So who knows what this is, and if you believe there's that we come back. But these two fascinated me when I listened to them. I hope to talk to these people at some point down the road, but I thought I'll play part of this for you to hear this week.
Can the dead be reborn? Is there life after death? This little boy believes there is.
Hello, my name's Camden.
Cameron remembers a past life on the remote Scottish island of Barra, over 200 miles away from his home in Glasgow.
I lived in the White House with my mum and dad and my 3 brothers and sisters.
And he just talks about, I was in Barra and I fell through to you. And I'm saying, what do you mean? And he'll say, no, it was just like a hole and I fell through.
Children from all over the world report memories of previous lives. It's a pretty interesting phenomenon.
Together with psychiatrist Dr. Jim Tucker, Cameron and his mum are going on a search for evidence of his past life. Are there rational explanations for the remarkable coincidences which follow? Or are there stranger forces at work? Norma McCauley is a single mum who lives in Glasgow with her 2 young sons.
Well, I've got 2 boys, lovely boys, even if I say so myself. I've got Martin, who's 6, and I've got Cameron, who's 5.
Since Cameron first started to talk, he has described life as a child on Barra, a remote island in Scotland's Outer Hebrides.
White House with my mum and dad and my 3 brothers and sisters.
From the age of 2, Cameron has been telling his family the same story. As he's grown older, the story hasn't changed. It's just become more detailed. Norma could not understand how Cameron knew about Barra, let alone have such clear memories of life on the island.
At first I just thought, like, he's making things up. And then I was thinking, how does he know the name Barra? Why is it Barra where none of us have been or have any connection with?
Barra lies off the western coast of Scotland, 220 miles from Glasgow. It can only be reached by a lengthy sea journey or an hour-long flight. It's a tiny, distant outpost of the British Isles and is home to just over 1,000 people.
My favourite place in Barra was the beach, and I took my dog with me, and I play with him and my brothers and sisters to play.
He used to say, I'm a Barra boy, I'm a Barra boy.
The plane was to land on the beach.
He said, there's like a small beach. He says, and like small planes land, and they land on the beach.
At Barra is a loads of place to run around, but here is not a lot because the houses are near each other.
I did one time say, one of these days we will go up and see Barra, and then it's like, well, I'll show you where my house is, and I'll show you round.
Will we see your Barra dad?
No.
Why not?
Because he's dead.
He's dead.
He says, my real Barra dad didn't look left and right.
My Barra dad got knocked down.
Cameron even claims to know his Barra dad's name.
Shane Robertson.
Shane Robertson?
Yes.
Who was Shane Robertson again?
My Barra dad.
My Barra dad.
Was that a fire?
The one that got knocked down.
Mm. Friends and family have also been drawn into Cameron's story. Next door neighbour Diane Miller has known Cameron since he was born, and her son Aaron has grown up with him.
Hello.
When they were about two was when Cameron started to speak about his Barra family.
And my brothers and sisters and my friends.
Well, have you got friends in Barra too?
My house in Barra and family in Barra, because Cameron was adamant he had this other family.
What was his name?
And he would tell you over and over again, so you know he wasn't just making it up there and then.
And he got knocked over by a car.
Cameron's uncle, Ian Watson, initially dismissed his nephew's stories as fantasy, but as time passed, they became harder to explain away.
It's just a fact that he's just consistent in, you know, the things that he's saying and the story that he keeps coming up with. And over the 3 years, he's never wavered from it. If you look at his face when he's telling you these things, he believes they're true.
My dad and mum had long hair and she got cut short.
He'll say, I was with my Barra mum before you had me, before I came to this family. And he just keeps saying to me, you'll really like her, you'll really like her, she's really nice. One time I said to him, joking, do you love me or your Barra mum? And he says, I love yous both the same. I thought he'd have said me, but he never.
Cameron's growing emotional attachment to his Barra mum concerned Norma. He began to miss her so badly that he started to suffer genuine distress.
One day when he was at the nursery, he got quite upset. He was saying rather than me picking him up that day, he wanted his Barra mum to come and get him. And the big tears were running down his face and he just kept saying, I have to go to Barra, I have to go to Barra, my family are missing me. How do you deal with that? What do you do? What do you say to him?
Ever since he could speak, Cameron has described a previous life, growing up on the remote island of Barra in the Outer Hebrides. Cameron is desperate to visit Barra, but Norma, his mum, wants to find out if there is a rational explanation for his unusual memories.
I think I'm a very open person, but this was still throwing me. I mean, I believe Cameron does know Barra. How he knows it, I don't know. I don't think anybody really has every answer. As I say, for somebody that is quite open and it's throwing me, I'd just like to know, has he seen it on the television? Is there a house like he talks up there? Or just like to know what's behind it all.
Norma's first stop in her search for answers is Dr. Chris French, a psychologist. He edits the Skeptic magazine, which debunks paranormal phenomena. The hope is that he may have a rational explanation.
You can get situations where I would bet my bottom dollar that what we're dealing with are false memories. I mean, kids have fantastic imaginations, yeah, as I'm sure you're aware. Obviously, these days, you know, we've got lots of TV programs, lots of TV channels, we've got the internet. Yeah. Is there any possibility, do you think, that he might have, say, seen something on TV at some point, some program that
I'm not saying it's not possible, but I've never seen Barrett on the television. I'm trying to think a time that Cameron would be watching programs without me, or just like that sort of program, but not to my knowledge.
But I mean, it is possible there was someone who told Cameron stories about life on the island of Barrett, and then moved away.
Well, I know everybody kind of round about, and as I say, especially the fact that Martin and Cameron are so close in age, so why doesn't Martin know all this?
Okay, I mean, it may be that...
I'm just saying that.
No, I take your point entirely.
I take yours, but I'm just saying, I'd be more than practically 100% say, but there's nobody been talking about Barra. I've asked my family, none of us know even Andy. It comes from Barra, been to Barra.
But it may not be coming from your family. Yeah. You're either dealing with a situation where he has picked up the information through normal sources, or maybe, just maybe, you know, there's something kind of much more interesting and challenging going on here.
Norma leaves Chris with more questions than answers. Could it be that Cameron's elaborate story is no more than a fantasy?
So that's Cameron McCauley. He's a young boy out of Scotland. Boy, it's hard to understand the accent a little bit, so hopefully that didn't throw you. And you can look up more of this on your own. There's 5 parts for Cameron that I saw on YouTube, and maybe you've already heard this before. And then there's several different ones for James as well. And there's the book. And if I have a way to contact these people, then I will do so. And I tried to find out as much as I could about James and Bruce and Andrea, but I couldn't find a way to contact them through an email. So I'll keep working on that, and maybe down the road it would really be nice to have them on the show. And maybe they're a little cautious, because, you know, when you come up with something like this, a lot of people think it's a hoax, and some people are open to it, and it could be a hoax. I'm not totally saying that it couldn't be, but I'm convinced that we come back more than once, and you can believe whatever you want. And thanks for listening to Out There.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.